date, right? Meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board, and we'll start with the call to order, which I do by having everyone go around and reintroduce themselves in case, just by name, in case there's someone who doesn't, hasn't attended before.
Noah Smuckler.
Roger Ewing.
Dan Glessman.
Jane Wolzbach.
Bill Olson.
Sorry, I said I was Barry Dorfman. And now, as is our custom, we'll have a moment of silence. And now the next item is the acceptance of the agenda. And everyone has the agenda before them. Are there any changes anyone wishes to make? I don't see. And hearing none, we'll proceed on. Are there any announcements?
Yeah, just a quick announcement. It's actually on behalf of the Morro Bay National Estuary Program. They tomorrow evening, annually, the estuary program puts on an urban runoff monitoring program for one of the first rain. A large flush occurs, and you, if you're interested, would get put on a list to be on call to come out and help volunteer, pull some samples, and be a part of this stormwater runoff monitoring effort. And the training tomorrow is actually tomorrow, Thursday, September 20th, at the Morro Bay National Estuary Program's office from 6 to 7:30. And the phone number down there, if you're interested in getting some more information, would be 772-3834, extension 15, and it's Annie Gillespie is the coordinator of the program. So I may slip this up onto the overhead after we close out here, but if you're interested in being involved with that, tomorrow evening from 6 to 7:30.
Okay. We'll now move on to the next section of the agenda, which is public comment and presentations. And Roger points out that there's number five, written communications. My error. Are there any? I was clairvoyant. And, yes, I might adopt the procedure of checking them off. And public comment and presentations, other than on the scheduled items, and so as long as it's not on our new business item. Well,
hearing our time at the public works staff, on the public works staff level in Morro Bay, in viewing our collections infrastructure. And two reports have been put out with regards to this. And they were sent to the city council, and I'm pretty sure that staff has these reports. If I'm mistaken, I can get staff some reports as well. Basically, the reports are, one of them is on debt damage lines in the collection system, and it's a description, and the other one is on the wastewater treatment plant joint powers agreement. And some of the agreement is between Cayuga Sanitary District and Morro Bay as a city, and the financial impacts that Morro Bay takes on, and in that agreement, basically the discrepancies. One of the major discrepancies that Morro Bay has and Cayucas have in this agreement is that Morro Bay is responsible for all of Cayucas's inflow and infiltration and exfiltration once it enters the city limits, and that's a problem. And as we speak right now, I would like to notify this board and the public in general that I believe that there's a hazardous condition right now on the road in North Morro Bay, and that's between Island Street up to right around Nassau or Nevis. And right downstream of that is the major sewer line that was put in by Montgomery Engineering in about 82 of Cayucas's. Now, all of Cayucas's sewage runs along Main Street at that point. And if you look at the road is sinking, and I believe it's a dangerous situation. Now, I have personally, while working in Cayucas back in 2003, I was addressing the hydrogen sulfide issue along that street through the manholes and put meters in. And the meters were going off the chart for hydrogen sulfide gas emissions through the manholes due to the fact that that was where the all the sewage gets collected. Now, that situation there has not designed engineering flaw that occurs, and it needs to be sealed. That whole system needs to be sealed there. But as long as that hydrogen sulfide gas, you can just pull up the manholes and you'll see the erosion on the concrete. Now, if you go to the manhole at Vachon in Maine, you'll notice that it's a new manhole. I was the one that wrote the CIP as a priority while working at Cayucas for that. Because of that, that's where the force main dumps into Morro Bay. Now, I don't want to be too confusing, but the main thing is if you look at the road there, there's a lot of settling going on, and a lot of it has to do with the exfiltrating sewage along the line running parallel. But I would like to I think that's another judge, then they're giving it to Cayucas, so.
Can you tomorrow drop by a copy so we to, I guess, who would be best, just so it can be in our packet next month,
That
we can get copies?
We have copies at our office, and we can make copies available
for your packet. Thank you. Or could you just make them available? Would that be okay at the front desk instead of waiting the month? Just with our names on them, would that be okay?
That'd be fine.
And while we're doing that, I'll continue what I said while we're doing that in a moment. I just wanted to clarify, you said a volunteer at the public works. Could you clarify what you mean? I wasn't aware of the volunteer program at public works.
Me, Marta Jo Bruton, and others are talked to Rob Schultz, and I think it was Rob Schultz mainly, and set up a area where he brought his own camera or his own TV in, and then we can view these videos. And the way we do it is because of my experience.
So the volunteer nature was to examine the materials and develop the reports.
Correct.
I very much appreciate and understand.
Thank you.
What I wanted to add after saying there were no communications, if I can go back, I do have one, if we could again have available, I'll give it to you after, that Mayor Peters had sent about a Wi-Fi conference. She's been counsel. Did you want to speak, sir?
I had a question.
Yeah, I wanted to say we're a little looser, so if anyone wants to ask a question or get something clarified, now's the time.
To make sure I heard it right, when the speaker was talking about the collection piping, I'll call it ownership, you're saying that at the Morro Bay city limit, Cayucas ceases to have any ownership responsibility in the collections pipe?
What happens is Cayucas Sanitary District has their last lift station at Turo Creek Road, or Turo Creek there. And that's lift station 5. From there, they have two force mains that run on either side of the freeway. And it comes across, and it all collects and dumps at Vachon and Main. And from that point on, it's gravity line all along Main Street on the southbound lane. And if you drive along that southbound lane, you're basically riding over a 15-inch collection system, and all of Cayucas' sewage runs right underneath there. And those manholes are theirs. And we have they obviously have an easement to go through there. They also own 40% of a collection line that runs on the northbound lane. Now, that collection line is owned 60% by Morro Bay and 40% by Cayucas. And Morro Bay uses that in all the streets that run, you know, like Java, and then there's all those streets, they tie into that. And that collection line right there has some very severe damage. And it's not the worst I've seen.
Reasons that I've never asked about and aren't clear, we have not had discussions about the details of the joint powers agreement. Otherwise, we'd be more familiar. But maybe this will be the opportunity to become familiar with them, even just of who owns what and that kind of consideration.
Is it possible, maybe under future agenda, to agendize a discussion by this board on the joint powers agreement?
We'll come to that, but I was thinking we'd get the reports, and that would lead to, I think, when we, I was going to propose at the future agenda, at the future agendas items, we discuss the reports we're about to get, and then that one thing will lead to another.
Especially because it looks like our next meeting potentially, or future agenda items, is discussion on the state of the sewer, and the council itself has had so much input already in discussion about the collection system. So it seems like the city is taking as many steps as they can to get on top of this issue, and there's a lot of momentum to resolve these problems that we have, make the investment we need to do.
You said you're not here for a later item? We're just... Okay, welcome. The next item is the consent calendar, which we have our traditional one item, approval of the minutes of the July 18th meeting. Notifications.
I make a motion we approve the minutes of July 18th.
All in favor?
Aye.
And unanimously approved.
Did you?
The director's report, and as we've adopted the approach of receiving the report with inviting staff to highlight any items they thought were especially pressing at the moment or important, and then the members will go around to clarify any of particular items they think.
We're taking on our last round of curb ramp replacements in the downtown as part of our lawsuit settlement. We'll be beginning that probably in a couple weeks. There's 12 ramps in the downtown area that are either going to be repaired or replaced, along with starting to add truncated domes to some existing ramps.
Excuse me, truncated domes are the little round?
Is the bumps?
Cobblestone-like.
Not cobblestone. They're so that the visually impaired can get a cue that they're leaving the relative safety of the sidewalk and entering the street area. So you see them, they're, a lot of times they're a 3x4 panel, plastic panel of bumps.
One question, please, Rob. What was the lawsuit that prompted all of this for the public certification?
Not sure the exact date. And we're on the last round of that settlement. Our next attack will be towards sidewalk and other existing pedestrian deficiencies in the downtown.
Thank you.
Another item I wish to highlight is it also regarding sidewalks. Recent reading of our municipal code would require sidewalks in basically any zoning district if there were over $8,600 improvements, simply stated. We started implementing this requirement on remodels, mainly because I'm new and didn't know any better. I read the code and wanted to enforce it. Based on direction from council, we've suspended enforcement of the code in the residential districts, and they've directed staff to come back to them with a modification to the municipal code to not require sidewalks in the R1 zoning districts.
Unless there already are sidewalks and we're completing the length.
We'll have to work on the nuances of that, the ordinance, so that we don't leave isolated sections of sidewalks. We'll want to pick certain paths of travel.
That was my concern.
Yes.
Thank you, Rob.
Do you know, I guess that's something council asked you to go directly, because given all the discussions we've had about traffic, people worried about kind of consideration be able to be put into an ordinance?
We can bring that up for discussion at the city council meeting, but the direction that we were given was to basically amend the municipal code, chapter 14.44 of the municipal code, to not require sidewalks in the R1 zoning district. Now, how that gets implemented in existing paths of travel, for example, Greenwood has been sort of a designated route to school, and we still have to deal with how we're going to work out the details of that ordinance change.
Again, because of past hearings, hours spent hearing, it seems to me that interrelates into how aggressively the 2-foot right-of-way to not allow growth in it. Because there's a difference between requiring a sidewalk and making sure there's still a free path for people to park their car and get out. And it seems to me those interrelate, and so just, and it's suggesting that that be part of the package.
Right. We have a policy in Public Works that the former city engineer had regarding the safety paths. The issue that staff, both engineering and legal staff, have with that is, if you build something that the able-bodied can use, it has to be disabled, accessible. Also, gravel paths are not do not meet the level requirement for ADA accessibility for the Department of Justice right-of-way guidelines. I think they allow those in a park situation, but not in the right-of-way.
Yeah.
May want to highlight the roundabout update that a little bit, that Mr. Boucher stated in the director's report that work has been suspended on the roundabout due to some design issues that we found with the project after the project was peer reviewed. We thought we were going to be able to continue with the underground utility work, but the peer review is showing some conflicts between the road geometry and manhole locations, so we need to resolve those before we can continue with the roundabout project. So we'll need to get back with our design engineers to have them make some modifications as recommended by our peer reviewer.
It's not a showstopper. It's just normal.
It doesn't appear to be a showstopper. It may move the roundabout a few feet, and the approach angles change slightly to accommodate trucks and the fueling trucks that need to access the two gas stations.
Are we going to lose any of the businesses that abut the proposed roundabout due to this change in location?
No, the right-of-way requirements are virtually the same. They may even be a little bit less by shifting the location of the roundabout just slightly.
Okay. Thank you.
And starting Noah, any?
Yeah, actually, I was curious to see if there was an update or any.
Have Rachel do that for us. Funny you ask that, because we are modifying our building code right now to take on the international code. And one of the modifications that we're going to make to the code is that to dovetail it in with our NPDES requirements, and we're looking at BMPs that could NPDES, National Pollution Eliminations Discharge Elimination System requirements for that smaller cities are now being regulated for the control of stormwater runoff. We do not have our permit yet. It's in review at the Regional Water Quality Control Board. But we do need to start implementing things that we put in our permit that said we're going to do. For example, one of them is water quality control for our stormwater runoff. And so we'll be looking at BMPs like pervious concrete as a way to for new development to improve stormwater quality runoff.
This is a bit of a follow-up, but it seemed prudent to let people know with all the discussion about the collection system that according to our packet, November 13th, the council will be hearing discussion and more details about, I believe it was
Island to Nassau.
Is that something that staff is, or as far as the slumping he was referring
yeah,
to?
Yeah, we've gone out there with Cayuga Sanitary District. They, in fact, Cayuga Sanitary District alerted us to problems in the street. They hired a video inspector to inspect that section of Maine. We didn't find any drastic, no holes in the pipe, no manholes eaten away, no obvious signs that the Cayuga Sanitary District, Maine, was the cause of the surface defects that we're seeing on North Main Street. It appears that the surface defects are right on the edge of the old concrete panel highway that was there. The original road was concrete panels, and they overlaid it with asphalt and widened it. And it appears that there's been a shift in one of those concrete panels. Now, we don't have X-ray vision or ground-penetrating radar here in Morro Bay, so we can't really tell what's going on. So what we're going to do is the road surface is cracked, and there's at the worst spot, there's about an inch and a half of vertical deflection there. So we're either going to do a skim patch, lay some asphalt over the surface to even out the surface, or grind and crack seal there. What we want to do is prevent water from getting in underneath the road surface and causing erosion of the base that's under the roadway. So that's our plan of attack, to temporarily patch this area, and then we can really start to investigate what's really going on in that area, whether it is the cause of a differential settlement between the old concrete panel roadway and the widened area. Sometimes when you pave over concrete panel roadways, you crack the concrete before you pave it, everything is flexible. Asphalt is a flexible pavement.
In the process of evaluating condition and status of street repairs, you have you say the city is going to spend quite a bit of money, but Measure Q funds are approximately $100,000. Does the Measure Q committee approve of this expenditure, since Measure Q was predominantly fire safety and infrastructure? So this comes under infrastructure?
The Measure Q funds that were allocated towards roadways is approximately $100,000.
Okay.
That's the amount that we have.
Okay.
We have in sort of deferred maintenance issues that the top 10 overlay candidate, if we were to pave or overlay the top 10 roads, worst roads in Morro Bay, would cost about $490,000. And if we were to slurry seal seven streets that or the top five slurry seals would cost about $107,000. What I was trying to get to here was show that while the Measure Q fund is going to help, it's really not going to catch us up to our deferred maintenance. So we'll use that money judiciously and put it to the best use, but we really won't be able to keep up with the deterioration of the infrastructure.
Again, for the public's edification, this is the first time I've seen a mention of Measure Q funds being spent by the public, so I was just curious. A little explanation for the public, thank you. City know is we may not be getting all of the water we were promised, and that by next May we may be in serious trouble. And it says this amount would likely suffice for winter and spring, but due to groundwater nitrate levels, possibly not be adequate when demand increases starting in late May. My question is, what options do we have? Again, this is for information to the public. Is this something you can handle, or should we?
I think I can answer some of this.
Okay.
One of the options is we're working on right now is how can we increase the capacity of our existing desal plant, and that's really what our focus is right now. It's the simplest option that we have to get more potable water into the system. It's a system that we already own, and we can make some plumbing modifications and membrane modifications to allow a more efficient extraction of water or treatment of water through the RO process.
Thank you, Rob.
Can we add additional RO units on those racks without having to get some permission from some other agency?
We would need to have Health Department review the project's engineering, but I don't know if that I can answer that question, whether it would require the ultimate capacity of the plant when they permitted, but we can verify that.
So we could double the capacity if we just had whatever
information. Yeah, and I think what they're looking at is other things besides doubling the capacity with the existing technology. They're looking at trying to improve the efficiency of it and treat more water for less energy also.
Thank you, Rob.
Dan?
No, not at this time.
Jane?
Yes, I'd like to at least, because the public doesn't see what we see here, about Coleman Drive, the Harbor Walk project, and I know that my husband and I, have looked at the Coleman Drive extension and wondered why it's so narrow. And I'll just read what it says here. A number of comments have been received about the width of the new Coleman Drive. The Coastal Commission limited the road width to two 11-foot wide travel lanes with 2-foot wide shoulders. So I guess is that why we're seeing it be relatively narrow?
Yes, we're at the permitted width of the street there. 11-foot lane in a is a allowable street width in a, you know, when we 11-foot lane meets the engineering standards for a street width design. In most cases, there's shoulders there and not curb, so you do have a little bit of shy distance, although you don't want to get off that roadway too far with the sand dunes there.
Yeah, and we have a lot of people with to date awaiting receipt of nitrate isotope testing of groundwater and final report. Is this to determine the source of the nitrate?
That's correct. The isotope testing will help us determine the most probable sources of that nitrate. I don't know that it'll be 100% to the exact location, but
And then what will we do when we know? I assume that you're looking, is this coming from fertilizer? Is this naturally occurring? And then what do we do?
That's correct. And then we can work with the Agriculture Commissioner's Office if it's, for example, if it's agricultural practices, and hopefully encourage the agricultural community to apply their nitrogen fertilizer at only those rates that are necessary for crop production.
When will we hear about this, do you know? Please.
I don't have a date for when Cleath and Associates will complete that report, but I know that Bill will be here next month for the state of the sewer, and we'll definitely have more information at that time.
Bill, did you have any questions? Any news? That completes the director's report, and now old business is the board agenda work plan. We all have a copy, and I keep on forgetting to bring an extra to put up. Rob, do you know whether there'll be expected action, what that is? Did I misinterpret that?
I believe it's just to receive the report, and I'm not sure.
That's the state of the sewer.
State of the sewer.
Okay, I think
that's the shortcut title to it.
It'll dovetail as you. And then there's a report. Is that just again to receive it on? I think that's your. Is that your item? Modification to Chapter 14 for October?
Actually, we will have already gone to council by that time, so it'll just be a status update of what the
action was.
What the final action was.
Okay. Maybe that can be incorporated in the director's report.
Yes, it could be incorporated in the director's report.
Was there anything problematical with great controversial discussion on that?
I guess it was problematical to enforce sidewalks in the R1 district. So.
Okay, so it's that item you just earlier.
Yes, exactly.
To discussed. Is that all right if we just receive that as part of the director's report next time instead of I misunderstood your email about it. And then we planned, do you know, if the review of the Bayside Living Guide will still be for October?
If it fits into the schedule of the board, that would be something I can confirm.
The urban water management plan, we...
And looking at some of the areas that I think might be prudent to highlight in that discussion.
So then the discussion is really a kickoff, and then there might be subsequent meetings. We'd schedule in-depth something more on it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that would make sense. And then will you then make the arrangements and publicity and stuff, a review of the Bayside Living Guide?
Sure.
Yeah. For November, we have nothing that we know of yet from staff. From the board, we have the presentation on the use of the recycling guide to coincide with the new phone book. And if that's the only thing for November, I think we'll decide in October whether we would have a meeting. But I suspect it won't be the only thing. I think there'll be some follow-ups. Probably. We may not, if that's the only thing. But we'll see. But we can decide that in October. It's just that publicity has to be done promptly for anything, because you need kind of a three-week lead for the newspapers and things like that. Noah, you kind of... Yeah. And the sanitary sewer system management plan by the city, we still will hear from Bill when how that's different than what he's doing. He had put it on. So at least we have October set. And are there any other? I think we're good to go. with what we have is enough of an agenda. So now to new business.
A bill stuffer, water bill stuffer that will go out and have all information about water and wastewater. It's going to go out as a bill stuffer and then also as a direct mail so that we make sure that everybody in the city will get a copy of that.
Okay. Can we just maybe put that on the agenda for October? If it's going to occur in November, it would be good if Bill or someone told us about the notification, maybe described it to us in October so it happened ahead of the event.
Or we could put it on the agenda or just to hear about it, just put it as part of the director's report.
We could put it in the director's report and you could highlight that item.
Okay.
And attach any documents that went out so then we could say, here, people, these are what you're getting in the mail.
That would be great.
Now we have new business, and this is an item that the board initiated called Urban Forestry Management Plan, and Roger has been lead on it to organize it and outline how you want the discussion. And I did want to indicate, I checked that that microphone, if you do have things to do in the overhead. Oh, you could walk around with the microphone. But. And so, take it away. Whichever you think will work best to make the presentation.
It's rare when I... How to manage our urban forest, although we rarely called it an urban forest. We just said trees. What do we do with trees? Way back in the day, there was a tree board. I think Mr. Olson was on it. Myself was on it at one time, and I can list a few
others.
Excuse
me a moment. You don't, with your wonderful basso voice, don't need to be quite so close to the microphone. It's hard to hear because I'm booming.
As I was saying, what to do with trees? The city council recently, under the aegis of Melody DeMeritt and Betty Winholtz, are trying to put together an urban forest management plan that we as a city can live with and function with. The main purpose is to save the trees that we have. I think all of us recognize the importance of trees in our ecological balance, and therefore a very strong need to protect them and to replant when necessary and to maintain the replanting so that we have a continual ongoing cycle of trees that are growing, dying, etc. Having never made a presentation before, I'm not quite sure what I'm doing, but I'm working on it. Bear with me. Each of you have been given a handbook. Basically, this handbook describes very simply and very easily how to put together an urban forest management plan. It's all right here. It's all very simple and relatively easy. It just takes the willingness to do it and the encouragement from our government to preserve the vitality of the city's urban forest and to strengthen and clarify the role of supporting departments who plan and manage the health of our urban forest. This plan would recommend direction and actions for Morro Bay to envision and create a cohesive, integrated, and substantial approach to preserving and enhancing the city's forest resources. And that was done in February of this year, and in September, the City Council had a very, very intensive discussion about forest management, and they came up with a number of resolutions. One is, whereas trees provide urban wildlife habitat, provide scenic beauty, create privacy, minimize erosion and the threat of landslides, reduce the effect of pollution in our air, mitigate climatic problems such as summer heat and high wind velocities, calm traffic, and add value to our property. Very good reasons for having an urban forest management. And I'm delighted that the city has now recognized the need for it and has taken a proactive stance
which is why this is before our board, to do something about it. Major vegetation on page, how observant, they're not, I guess it is, page, well, anyway, I gave each of you a packet on urban forest, and the one dated 9/19/07, which is today, in there is a beach and or sand dune, etc. And it goes on, and it, minimum of 6 inches in diameter, 18.8 inches in circumference, 4.5 feet vertically above the ground. These are trees that are beginning and are worth preserving and will eventually add to our forest. Recently, I acquired from Rob Livick a copy of a tree map. The city, unbeknownst to me, although these many years, has been putting together a city tree map. Basically, when Roger Pelletier was with the city, he did this, and he took every street that had public trees on it, mapped it, marked them, gave a condition of them, whether they were living, dying, or had been removed, or whatever. And the last time he did any of that, I believe, was 3 or 4 years ago, 5 years ago. So I and a few other people, Noah included, Jane's husband, Tom, Betty Winholz, Melody DeMerritt, and a couple of others, have been going around with pages of these maps and updating. There are a number of pages still that need to be done. I'm hoping I can entice or lure some of you to do that, get a few more streets done. If you look over on that wall over there, that's what this is what the one of the pages look like. And as you can see, there are markings. Every one of those little black dots, which you probably can't see, is a tree. Some are in blue. That means a new tree has been planted recently. Years ago, and Bill Olson can attest to this because we were both on the same committee. It was a tree committee, and it was really planting under Roger Pelletier's guidance, planted, about 40 of us, planted trees and took upon ourselves to maintain them. We would water them ourselves every week, and we did this for about 2 years. So that's where a number of these recent tree plantings have come from. And it's a program, I just call it Plant a Tree and Maintain program, that can be installed again. Roger Pelletier left all the records of his actions in this matter with the city, so it's just a matter of updating it and getting a current crop of about 35 to 40 people, volunteers, to start planting more trees. I don't need to remind you of the need for trees. We do need to plant more. We need to plant as many as we can, providing we have the space in which to plant them. What we're dealing with right now on the urban forest management, what I'm here for is to introduce the potential of having an urban forest management plan. But initially, all we can do at the moment are public trees. The city has never taken upon itself to get into a private tree ordinance. We've all been hollering for one. It is a very dicey item to discuss and deliberate because we're dealing with property rights, which some individuals feel very strongly about, and we're dealing with locations, etc. So it's an ongoing process. This is the first step. What do we do? What do we want? Where do we want to go with our poor? Do we want? What kind of trees do we want? And how do we get what we want? Again, everything that answers those questions are right in this pamphlet book, which each of us have. And I think with your help and the willingness to do so, we can eventually have an urban forest management plan, which I think the city desperately needs. So if you have any questions, this is a very limited presentation. It's a very soft presentation. I'm not equipped to give you a lot of statistics, a lot of pictures. I don't have a PowerPoint, because I'm not a techie. But I certainly have the will to protect and preserve trees and to get as many as we can, because they serve a very, very valuable purpose in our ecology, in the balance, et cetera.
Jane?
Yeah, I have a question. We can go ahead and go with what we have now in terms of trees. Who will make that decision about what do we want this to look like? It seems like this is something the community needs to input into, because at the same time as we're going to have these trees, which I agree are just a hugely important part of Morro Bay, we're also going to be impacting people's views if we choose a kind of tree that's very tall or a very large tree. So how will the public, or will the public be inputting into this as well as the, as this group?
Well, I would certainly hope so, because I don't think we can accomplish much without the public.
Well, to follow that up, there, did you want to finish your thought?
I'm
presuming the city has passed its resolution. I don't think anyone's against trees. You get into those sticky issues. So, and as you said, in a soft way, and appreciate that, what can we do to keep things moving? What can this board do? And I think it leads into the public input. I think you started in speaking as an old epidemiologist, the place you always start with anything, in public health at least, and involving the public, is just information. If you have any thoughts on what it would take to get the maps, whether it's the whole city or in certain sections, and you go to then try and hold a meeting in that area to begin to gain experience, how people receive the information and about how many trees there are, dying, what types of trees. And this is where now I think it'll take some expertise, but what I would want to know if I go is, okay, if we do nothing different than is happening now, what will the trees in my neighborhood look like in 10 years? If we don't keep the replanting, et cetera, that's what we want to show people. They'll be gone. It's the equivalent of what really started to Save the Bay in San Francisco. They just showed maps of how it shrunk. So if we get a enumeration, I think is the place to start. And I think what you've you asked for help with it, but I think that's a way. It makes sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. And it's educating the public. I think that's what we as a board can initiate, is an educational program, utilizing the Bay News, the Sun Bulletin, getting articles out there, letters to the editor, etc., appearing before the city council. It's just a matter, I think the most important aspect of anything that we do is education. If people don't understand or recognize or know how valuable trees are and how important it is to have a forest management plan, nothing is going to get done. Life just goes on blithely. But we need to take a very proactive educational stance and get the word out there. Also, I'd like to ask Rob, what type of maintenance is the city and or planting? Planting and maintenance right now, since Roger Pelletier left, what has the city done, or and what are they doing, if anything?
Currently, our urban forest or street tree maintenance program consists of mainly dealing with safety issues. Due to budget considerations, we are trimming trees that are overhanging sidewalks, bike lanes, that would be an interference with the public's movement. We're also removing broken branches, fallen branches, and then removing hazardous situations. For example, there was a tree trim today on Las Tunas where our emphasis at this point in time is it is a fairly minimal program, but handling the safety issues as they come up, and we're not pruning trees for aesthetics. Planting is I'll put on my regulatory hat now as in when I review development projects. Each new development that's doing frontage improvements has a requirement in the city policy to plant one tree for every 60 feet of frontage or a minimum of one per lot. So that's where we're getting our new trees mainly from, is through new development. We, when somebody does remove a tree, they're required to replant it, two trees, yes. And we're looking for, if it can't be at that location, we need donor sites of people that are willing to maintain that tree also. So we're establishing a list through the planning department of donor sites where these trees can be replanted.
Is that still an active list?
I believe it is still an active list. Mike Prater maintains that list.
So if any of our fellow citizens are interested in having a tree planted on their property, all they have to do is come to the planning department at Public Works?
Public Works or planning department, we can map that property so that we know that they would be a receiving site for a new city street tree.
Okay. That's good to know. Because I think, again, that's part of the education, is getting the word out there. And each of us can do the same, you know, in our social circles.
In addition to education, move forward on.
Well, I have some empty map sheets.
Well, to institutionalize something, or to get something that will lead to its own obvious next step. And I would ask, have at least all city property in the sense of institutional property that is surrounding City Hall, the fire stations, and all the parks, are the trees in that mapped with a plan for those areas? Because that's a place to begin. Because, and that's what I mean, not just the cities, but the streets, but you go to a park that's a discrete, I'll call it institutional or identifiable entity. Are all those mapped? And that's I think what we need to gain experience with, from what I've heard, is taking a map and then translating that into something that gets a little institutionalized, that, okay, this is the plan for this area. Like, it looks like it's fine and got plenty of trees, and all it needs is just the normal cycle you so well described. This area looks like some trees will be leaving because of the things that are going to happen in streets. This area, it looks, could handle more trees. And so what is our plan to try and get them there? I want to build on the tree and they're all gone, you know, kind of thing. So that's what I'm casting. I mean, it's just off the top of my head, but something that builds on the maps and doesn't have to be citywide, but starts something moving forward as an example of how you begin to do it, and then, well, what about this area or that area, and begin to grow it.
There is one other aspect of the forest management plan that I forgot to mention. That is landmark trees, heritage trees. Some cities call them heritage, some call them landmark. Right. I gave you some materials from four different cities that have landmark tree policies. They all are similar. They all make perfect sense, and they're all fairly easy to implement right here in Morro Bay. Fortunately, it's my understanding the City Council recently dedicated or established landmark status for the grove of eucalyptus trees abutting the community center, that big park where the kids play the soccer, etc. That whole grove is now a landmark status. I would like to see landmark status established with other trees, groves. When we were out mapping, there were three or four trees that obviously you just look at them and you know they're landmark trees. They're 30, 40, 50, 60 feet high. You can't put your arm around the trunk. That's a landmark tree. It's been there for 40, 50 years. We need to establish the status of landmark for them so they don't just get cut and destroyed or trimmed improperly or topped. So there are a lot of parameters involved in this process. As much as I wish it would all happen overnight, it doesn't. Human nature is a major factor in anything that we try to get done. So we need to abide to the human nature in all of us and move correctly forward. So I encourage each of you to input, to think, to add suggestions, to get involved. It just takes a willingness on everybody's part to do something. Do we want a forest management plan? Do we want to protect our forests? Do we want to maintain it? And if the answer is yes, then we need to elicit the city and our citizens to doing something about it. And it's not something that we can just allow the city to ingest all this information and then file it away and nothing gets done. That's usually what happens with a lot of endeavors. The Adopt-a-Tree program that Bill and I were involved in is a wonderful concept, and I think we can reinstitute it, and it would work. Bill brought a picture for each of us of a tree that he planted when he was one of the trees that he planted. And it needs trimming, maintenance. He spent 2 years watering it and nurturing it and making sure it grew, and it has grown, but now is growing beyond its limitations, and so it needs pruning. Please, Bill, the mic is yours.
Background, they're all trees, you know. But if you look close at it, you can see the profile of this tree. Now, when this tree was about 4 years old, it was up about 10 feet. In the wintertime, after the rains, when the ground got soft, the tree tilted toward the street about 45 degrees. Now, Roger Pelletier and I were both pushing on it, trying to get it back, but it wouldn't move. So Roger decided that, well, let's just wait and see what happens. It'll probably develop a new trunk, which is what it has done. The tree has now developed a new vertical trunk, which is up about 18, 20 feet. But the old original trunk is still there at about 45 degrees, and it's now about 6 inches in diameter at the base, and it's getting mighty heavy. So if we don't cut that, I mean, that original trunk needs to be removed. If we don't remove it, it's going to get heavy enough to cause that tree to tilt again, and when it does that, it's going to be gone. And at this point, good night. We don't want to lose the darn thing. So if the city can't do it, I would suggest that under the supervision of Wally McCrae, who knows what right and wrong, some of us could get in there and cut that original trunk off and do whatever else is to shape it up properly. And as long as we don't have the city coming down on us because we're damaged, we're doing something to the city tree, you know.
Okay, I think this gap, the city can give its blessing to, yes, you can do this on this city tree. Is there, and I'm sure people raise liability and stuff, so is there an existing mechanism, and if not, we need to create one if we're going to have volunteers working on city trees?
There is an existing section in the Muni Code, I think it's section 1208, regarding city street trees, and it basically is vested in the Public Services Department to maintain these trees or allow them to be maintained. So, and it requires that anybody that's trimming a tree needs to be under the supervision of a certified arborist. So,
which is what Wally is.
So the public, we can grant a permit to for a private party to trim a tree, but it has to be under the direction of a certified arborist. Now,
I'm an old wizened government bureaucrat.
I mean, Wally is a landscape architect.
You can grant it. So I walk in. Is there a form for me to fill out established for this?
It'd be our encroachment permit, which is an over-the-counter process.
And
we could talk about it internally, since this is really a I may be speaking out of class right now, but it's really assisting the city. Perhaps we can even waive the fees on an encroachment permit if somebody is voluntarily coming in.
That's the kind of thing to have, but have encroachment permit for purposes of it, something that's separate, makes it easy. People and what they have to bring in of the who's supervising and whatever needs to be signed, the obligations to have the opportunity for people to help. You can just go ahead and work on that without city council.
You're talking about a certified arborist, and we got to pay him. Now Wally McCrae knows the whole thing. He's a landscape architect, of course, but he knows. So we got to rig it up so he can supervise it, because we can do it for free then.
Well,
that's
the only way
we're going to get it done. And another thing I would suggest, that the city has no money to plant trees, and yet, if we're going to have it look like Hygera Street looks like in downtown San Luis, we had to plant those trees 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been arguing for dang near that long in this town about planting trees,
mm-hmm.
because it's going to be a desert eventually if we don't, because all these pine trees are gone. So maybe we can get a program going where people will donate a tree to the city, and the cost of planting it, and then we have an adopt-a-tree program going where we get people to maintain that tree until it can sustain itself.
That is, those are trees that are planted in public, in the street right away.
I'm talking about trees in the public right away.
Right. But there are citizens can plant trees on their own property.
But they aren't going to do it usually.
Well, encouragement. But I think back to your suggestion that you and Wally trim this. If the citizenry out amongst us know that they can go in, well, before they can do anything with a tree, they need to come to the city and seek a permit. But if they know on a city they wanted to, but let's get the public involved.
I want to clarify the Adopt a Tree program. If someone wants to be a donor site, that can be on their property.
Yes.
That can be private property.
Yes.
And then are we shaping up with something that puts the ball in our court if it's responded to? Are we headed towards maybe asking the city council to take whatever action is necessary to waive encroachment, encroachment permit fee under these types of circumstances, and direct city staff to develop a separate form for it?
I mean, I couldn't have said that any better.
Is that the direction? I don't know how people feel, because that's what I meant by just take it, maybe a small step, and then we have to deal with financing, because it's not always going to be Wally McCrae, but that's the next step. But at least then there's a pathway. I don't know how.
Well, I think what I'm trying to get across is to make it easy for the citizens to participate, and to make it easy for trees to be planted, and make it easy for trees to be maintained.
That's the only way we'll get them.
Yeah.
Right. But it requires an effort on everybody's part, and as well as an equal participation from city government, from the citizens themselves, arborists, etc. In other words, let's have a forest management plan, period. And I think what I would like us to do as a board is to recommend to the
city a couple things. I think looking at the passion across the table here at what an Adopt-a-Tree program can create within someone as far as what their care for the tree that they've adopted would be given, I think it's clear that that's really the only sustainable way for us to plant trees that will be long-lived and cared for, especially given the state of our city's budget. So I would suggest also that we in any motion, we do recommend the investigation of the development of an adopt-a-tree program again, along with these other suggestions.
We have to get the trees to adopt. Don't forget that part.
Yeah, and that would...
Somebody has to pay for them.
Yeah. And, you know, along those lines, part of that discussion would be, you know, developing those ideas about where we could creatively get trees as long as they have, you know, good homes, good and willing homes with supportive parents or parent. In my survey of the neighborhood in my area and the inventory there, I talked to some of the residents that I was just bumping to as I was walking down the street with my inventory map, and you know, a lot of these questions came up, and some of them were really people were curious if they have a area near their property that is city owned, what would be the process for them to actually apply to plant a tree there if they're willing to care for it? That was a question that was asked, and I think the Adopt-a-Tree program would, one of the parts of the process would be what the responses were to my question of what do you feel about our urban forest here in Morro Bay. Everything that we're bringing up here was asked and discussed from different residents and people that I bumped into. So I think we're certainly on the right path here.
Dan, did you have any?
Well, my thought, this tree on Pacific that Bill was involved with ought to be a demonstration project, too, on the maintenance. In other words, the process of how this tree gets improved should be documented and maybe a presentation, you know, through PWEB at some point. And as far as having arborists, you know, there might be some advertising for them there to volunteer, like on a Saturday or whatever. So I would think if you can get a program that has no direct cost other than the tree itself, you'll find a lot more acceptance in the citizenry.
And likewise, I think a plant-a-tree component of this Adopt-a-Tree program could also find sponsors as far as the source for the tree and the many nurseries that we have around.
Also, the high school, I forget his name, the Oak Tree Man.
Lionel.
Yeah, thank
we can
you.
Always
Sorry,
get trees
Lionel.
From Lionel, too.
Lionel has access to many trees. He has the kids at Morro Bay High with a little mini nursery in the back in which he's various levels of height at some of these trees. And I think we also need to encourage specific tree types for Morro Bay because I think over the years we've learned what doesn't work. Banana trees, rubber trees are good. Oak trees are good. But it as we know that the city council supports an urban forest management plan is a major step in the right direction. So I'm open to suggestions as to what motion to make. Maybe, Rob, you might... I mean, is there anything that we can direct council or direct...
Council.
Well, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Thank you.
There's a tape here. We do.
But let me just add one more thing, and that is the presentation is closed. You've been a wonderful audience, and I thank you for your patience and your time, and now I just want to hear what you want to do, and let's do it. Thank you.
I think that three things come to mind based on the discussion. One is the cover letter that goes to the council that I'm hoping Roger will compose, because you had the thanking the council and saying we reviewed this on our own initiative with great enthusiasm and read it carefully, looking for ways. Can you, some of the things you reviewed, the thank you. Well, we'll get together and need help. I'll tell you some what's other things that are going on that take me at a temp. But anyway, so there's a cover letter that explains, and as a result, we are requesting, and this would take a motion, make the request that to facilitate citizens participating or set up the standards, waive encroachment fees that are associated with private parties maintaining trees in the city right of way, and we'll say make it a easy or streamlined process.
Yeah, remove the obstacles.
Yeah. Well, make it it's more kinder to say make it a streamlined process. That would be one action. That would be someone would make the form of motion. The second would be, having read it, we've felt strongly an important step would be an adopt a tree program, and would hope the city council would request us and staff to help us with developing a proposal for an adopt a tree program that we would come back to them with.
We've already got the proposal. I mean, it's Roger Pelletier.
Yeah,
it's same thing. It's already there, I think.
And that's fine that we tell the city that if the work is done, fine. But we're saying to them, we think you've passed this. This is a very important first step. Endorse that it's a first step. Follow up on your previous action. And we'll come back, and maybe there's some fine-tuning, and it's good that the staff, and then they get to act again. I'm trying to think of not doing everything at once, but incrementally moving. If there's already one active, then some other motion that emphasizes
No,
that.
It's not active. I'm just saying that the process...
People are ready to go. It's sort of like the bench program once. There were people who wanted to do benches.
Well, the Adopt a Tree program is not unknown to the council, because several, like Bill Pierce and Melody DeMert, were both involved watering trees in that program. So, you know, they know it.
I just want to add, we were talking about appropriate species for Morro Bay, and just wanted to point out there is an existing master street tree list that does give appropriate species, and I think that was...
Well, Wally McCrae developed that.
He
spent a lot of time on it. He developed it down into microclimates in the city as to what trees would work best in those microclimates.
Yes, and we still have copies of those microclimate maps.
It's got to be there.
I want to say I don't have an investment in any of those particular items. I just think it's important to build on what you've done to have something go forward so it doesn't sit here and, oh, that was a nice presentation. See?
A motion. I move, with your help, that we send a recommendation to the City Council to continue their support for an urban forest management plan, recognizing that right now we are at the first steps, recognizing the need for a landmark tree status definition, and I don't think the city can, well...
That would be part of the Adopt a Tree program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
that smacks the staff.
Right. Dan, anything you...
The third was the fee? To facilitate.
Dan, go ahead, mention that, because that was yours.
Well, no, I'm only thinking that this tree on Pacific is a good demonstration case of how the concerned party, which I guess is Bill, would go about legally getting a permit to do this, and the fee had been waived, and that an arborist had been obtained, and hopefully that program could be perpetuated with a volunteer arborist.
Right, volunteer basis.
Yeah.
Do you have that, Rob? That part, what Dan was just mentioning? Part of the motion would be to ask the City Council to accept the citizens trimming street trees with
streamline
process for
thank you and waiving the fee because it is a service to the city that we are doing this. But to do so under the auspices of the city for liability as well as protection, et cetera, blah, blah. Does that make sense, Rob?
The city assuming liability?
No. There is a liability question involved, but the city recognizes that, as do the citizens who are...
Not violating the law.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was writing as fast as I can because I think the flow was very good. So let me repeat what I heard.
Okay.
See.
Please do.
It's that we send a recommendation to the city council. We recommend, or we see as important and feasible first steps, the establishment of the landmark tree program.
Landmark
tree
status.
A landmark status program.
Status.
The reinstitution
of
the Adopt the Tree program. Create a process to facilitate and streamline the maintenance of city trees, including waiver of any associated fees. And so, okay, so that were the three things, and we're asking that we see these as the first steps, and I think it's implicit that, conclude we offer.
I have one more thing.
We hope to be of help.
Somebody say something and I'll come back to me.
Yeah.
There was another aspect about the. We have to have something.
Getting the trees before we can have an adopt a tree program.
I got it. And to have the city take a proactive educational position for the public. In other words, I want the city council to strongly support educating all of us on the necessity for trees and maintaining an urban forest. However that works into the motion, please. I would like it to be part of the motion is the educational aspect. And I think the city council can be very proactive in that regard because, after all, everything starts with the city council.
The council and the board, because potentially if we do have the NEP present on the Bayside Living Guide, what our request was going to be was that they highlight their section of the Bay-Friendly Yard and Garden, which has a lot to do with care of your landscape and trees within that landscape in the best way to promote long-lived plants and so on.
I agree. Thank you. So that's the motion. Do we need it translated or reiterated? Or can someone second it and we can take a vote?
I'd second it.
Thank you.
Including that the motion is really to send the following communication.
Well, what our follow-up action would be is if the council doesn't have the time or the ability to respond to this, is we do as a board have some money put aside from Councilwoman Winholtz. For tree planting, and that could be an action that we decide internally following a response from the council or maybe not a response would be that we could decide internally to begin the process, potentially.
To discuss the motion, it's all of which are good things, but if what we're wanting to initiate is something that has some movement, the more discreet and easier it is to do. And just one thing. Now, the better. And I think the my thinking behind it, and again, I can go with anything, but my thinking behind the facilitating the process is when we have an immediate need. Two, that'll tell us right away where they stand in following this up, because it's something that doesn't require any redesign, any discussion. We're not going to charge fees, and staff make it easy when they come to the counter. It's as simple as that. If they're not willing to do that, I don't know how much farther we're going to get. We have some other work to do. So that's the idea. We're getting a reading also of how they're responding and make an easy thing to do something good.
Foundations that we institute a landmark tree status program, that we reinstitute the adopt tree program, that requests the council to direct staff to facilitate and streamline the process for private maintenance of city street trees and waive any encroachment permit fees, and for the city council to encourage an educational component along with this tree program.
And to continue their support for an urban forest management plan. Thank you, Rob.
Now I have a question. Who's going to actually develop the urban forest management plan? Is that our committee?
That's part of us. Yep. I mean, yes. We'll be involved, I'm assuming. It's a long, drawn-out process that I hope doesn't take too long. But yes, we would be involved. Hopefully we can get other citizens involved. Hopefully we can get the council involved.
Part of the urban forest management plan is actually what we're doing right now and what's already been done as far as the tree inventory, a list of suitable trees and landscape trees for our climate and our area. We actually are in a place right now where the foundation is essentially laid, especially with supporting literature and so on as the tree board handbook here. So it seems so.
Yes, I would think, as Noah said, that does seem appropriate. I think it should. Who's writing this letter? Is this just, when you say a letter, are you just, you're just, what you're really inferring is that staff is going to send the council this motion?
No. It's with us.
We have to
write
this letter
and type it. It's the writing.
Nobody told me that.
They're.
Oh.
We pay staff?
Well, that's not the
take
the
you out for lemonade.
We can do one thing. We can. Two things. One is I wonder if anyone else shares my concern about putting too many items in the letter, because, gee, well, what do we have to do to get this program going again and to reinstitute the Adopt a Tree program, et cetera? I mean, then maybe I'm off base and it's overloading. And I would reverse, if I did, the order. Put the first thing that's easiest to do. Put that first.
And I feel like the discussion about adjusting the process for caring for a tree and so on is getting into really the nuts and bolts of what an Adopt a Tree program would be discussing and developing as far as exactly what we're talking about with the encroachment. So that is getting pretty that is the one thing out of all of our motions that is getting very specific and might be the one that we could keep as a good idea, but hold back for now.
Why not just put it all in the letter?
I was only suggesting that as various concerns that we have.
Well, I was thinking that would be the one I'd leave, but.
Kathy has something to say. Will they be getting a copy of the motion on a separate page?
No, just in the minutes.
I think from past experience, I would recommend sending the letter, drawing their attention.
Are you capable of writing the letter?
There, we are. And what I was going to suggest as process is I would bring the letter next month. Because you want to carefully word it. The trees will wait.
I would rather get the letter to them as soon as possible. I'd like to see the letter go with the minutes that go to the city council.
And the letter could be as simple as our motion, especially if it includes wording about us as to what you would like to see.
Public Works Advisory Board hereby recommend that you blah, 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 blah.
Could you read the motion as it now stands as you believe it would be in the minutes?
I have bits and pieces and I pull it together from the audio tape, but what I have is Roger made the motion to send a recommendation to the city council to continue their support of the urban forest management plan after careful and enthusiastic reading of the city council's ordinance. We've developed an important and feasible first step.
I think you can eliminate with that, with enthusiastic.
Yeah,
that's rather superfluous. I think just get to the meat and bones of it, if you don't mind, Kathy.
Our landmark tree status program, waive fee for encroachment permits, reinstallment of adopted tree program, ask city council to accept citizens trimming trees, create a process to facilitate maintenance of city trees, have city take a proactive education of the public, and we hope to be of help to you as you proceed with this endeavor.
Okay. That sounds good. If I could just say on the last sentence, I think there's some wording, Jane, I think it was Jane who said, we ask you to direct us how we can help in this endeavor. So that's, and then you actually sort of have five items because you separated the fee from the process, which is fine. It still comes out. So my concern sometimes, if you can just let me know, if this is all right with folks, let me know that when the minutes go, and if I can get a copy then when they're there, and then if it will authorize me to send a letter saying that we had what we consider a very important and constructive and productive discussion of your of resolution number 1807, which resulted in what we think are some very helpful suggestions on how to proceed. And I'm sending this letter just to draw your attention to it.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
So that accomplishes the letter that we learned when we went through with Vicki. Okay, and you don't have to write anything. I can see that picture.
Now you know my smile, the source of the smile. However, there is one thing I think we need to do, and that is to vote on the motion.
I sensed I think he's calling the question. Is there any objections to calling the question?
No.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It is unanimous.
Thank you all very much.
Well,
appreciate your support.
Roger, you did a great job. Thank you for your presentation.
It is. Welcome. You're the head of the Speakers Bureau on this because your intro I was writing is just excellent, especially explaining the cycle that we have to create. And Bill's pictures are great. So The one wants to pursue item 12.
Roger just did.
Oh.
I'd move to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Hearing no opposition, we are adjourned till next month. Thank you very much.
Adopt a tree program.
Uh-huh.
It was an arbor. They had a class with, we had it over in the presence.